Welcome, welcome, welcome. Welcome back to Am I Aspie or Autistic? A podcast mini-series devoted to sharing the findings and experiences of people with an Asperger's diagnosis after the DSM-5 changed it to Autism Spectrum Disorder, or Autism Spectrum Condition, as it is more affectionately called by those close to it, ASC. I am Joanna Simmons, a psychology graduate, autism researcher, and podcaster, but you can call me JJ, and I am so glad you joined me today. How are you doing? If you like, you can take this time to notice how you're feeling. Notice if you're feeling anything in particular in any part of your body. Maybe you can get a sense of your feet on the ground. And as you're walking or driving or listening to this, you can maybe take this time to consider the traditional owners of the land you are on. I am on Wurundjeri country, Melbourne, Australia, and I want to acknowledge and pay my respects to the people of the land. I am honoured to share stories and perspectives of those and their identity and knowledge and stories of identities of those who went before me. And before what we're discussing today. So far in this series, we've talked about how a person develops their identity, especially disability identity. We've learned about the DSM and what labelling ourselves with a diagnosis can do for our identity. And then we went on to speak to people who had, I guess, a change to their identity when the DSM changed. We heard supportive responses, we heard oppositional responses, and the perspectives that we'll hear from today, similarly to the ones we've heard before, are those who, in the Smith and Jones 2020 study around the nature of identity following the change to the DSM, have had mixed responses to the changes. Like I said in that last episode, the perspectives we're sharing are not good or bad. As you probably know, identity is complex and we can feel differently about it between us or even within us, within ourselves, as we grow and change and understand ourselves. While there were some participants in another study by Giles in 2014 who they explicitly expressed suspicion of mental health professionals and rejected any changes such authority figures tried to impose upon them. So that was one perspective. Other participants felt that their identity would remain unaffected by the changes. And then some people appeared to be ambivalent regarding the DSM-5 changes. So another study similar to the one that we're focusing on also found that their participants were supportive, opposed, and had mixed responses. I don't know about you, but if you like, you can take this time to reflect upon when there has been a change that's happened, that's affected you, and maybe you haven't really known how you've felt about it. Maybe you haven't been sure. Either way, often, for me, sometimes I've been someone who's sat on the fence before and really kind of taken my time to make up my mind. And sometimes I've found that there's been a change and something's happened and I don't really know if it actually affects me. So I haven't really had an opinion about it. And I think, as we've said in this series so far, all of those things are okay. So if you like, you can take a little moment to reflect if there's anything that's happened that you have had a kind of mixed response about. Today is the time to shine the spotlight on those who had mixed responses to the change of the DSM. The first Participant 12 was diagnosed with Asperger's in middle childhood. He is a 22-year-old male who is studying. How would you describe receiving the Asperger's diagnosis?
Oh, it was isolating. I knew it was different, but then I got a label confirming that. At the same time, it was also a comfort. It meant I could access support at school and university and could externalize aspects of Asperger's from my sense of self. This helped boost my self-esteem heaps, eh? But it also felt like I had identity forced upon me, which wasn't great, especially since I was at such an impressionable age.
Yeah, I could imagine. How then do you feel about the DSM-5 changes?
Conflicted, I guess. I think autism attracts more stigma than Asperger's, and that autism has a broader impact on someone's life. The changes mean that the intricacy of the Asperger's diagnosis and identity are lost. But at the same time, I still acknowledge Asperger's and autism have always been linked. Maybe the DSM-5 changes might reduce stigma. Maybe they have, or can increase solidarity among those on the spectrum.
Participant two is male, 54, and self-employed. So, how did you feel about the DSM-5 changes?
It didn't really concern me. It made no difference to me in my life. Asperger's and autism have always been on the same spectrum anyway. I feel like it was probably a way for the authorities to deal with the Aspies instead of actually meeting our needs.
Ah, so how do you personally relate to your diagnosis?
I don't openly identify as having Asperger's or autism. If I ever do need to tell people, I just say I'm Asperger's. I'll do that to explain my difference, of my differences to others. There's stigma attached to autism. People don't understand what high functioning autism looks like. I feel like if I just say I'm Asperger's, people won't judge me as much or as harshly.
Three is male and 25 years old on the disability support pension. Can you tell us a bit about your diagnostic journey, including your feelings around the changes to the DSM?
I always knew I had this diagnosis. I mean, I was diagnosed when I was really young. When the DSM-5 changed, I didn't outright disagree, but felt the way the media presented these changes to the public was just too simplified and almost damaging to those previously diagnosed with Asperger's. It could mean we could get dismissed, like not having a diagnosis at all could mean that we don't get the support we need. I don't know if I know enough about the reasons for why they changed it to make a judgment. I mean, sure, Asperger's and autism have always been part of the one spectrum, and the Asperger's label has always been a godsend for me because it's gotten me heaps in terms of government support and helped me understand and manage my difficulties.
And what effects do you think that these changes had on the public?
I reckon the changes made many in the general public dismissive of Asperger's and the challenges we face. Like the public would only read a few headlines and then we're probably jumping for joy at the idea that Asperger's doesn't really exist. So thanks for that.
Participant seven is 69 years old, currently employed, and was diagnosed following a lifetime of social isolation, therapy, and misdiagnoses. Can you describe what it was like to receive the diagnosis?
It was an enormous relief. It fitted so well. It was definitely me. It helped me understand myself.
And what do you think about the changes to the DSM-5?
I don't really have much to say about the changes officially. Autism has worse stigma and a bigger impact on a person's life than Asperger's. That's what I think. Autism is like too vague a category. I support the change because it means Asperger's isn't a psychiatric condition. It exists separately to the medical term. It is its own thing. I mostly call myself Asperger's, but sometimes I say I'm autistic because more people are familiar with that. But yeah, I don't, that's my view. I don't really have much to say about the change.
Once again, some rich and complex perspectives we have just heard here. What do you think? Did any of what they say resonate with you? Maybe these individuals we have heard from who have mixed feelings or are ambivalent are currently navigating Gill's stages of disability development, or maybe they have chosen not to pursue or focus on developing their identity through any framework, such as Gill's stages, or maybe they have progressed through all the stages and they do not see their identity as needing to be defined by mental health professionals. Like I said at the start, the framework that we've been using to understand this kind of material is just one way of looking at things, and identity is an interesting little puzzle. And so you may have heard some of the folks that we just listened to use the terms autism and Asperger's interchangeably. They sometimes say one and they sometimes say the other, but they also said they were comfortable as being referred to by others as autistic, whilst they might refer to themselves as Asperger's or Aspie. What do you think about that? Participants 7 and 8, who are both women and were diagnosed with Asperger's later in life, they were open about their disabilities, but they didn't mention that they were involved with anyone else with autism or Asperger's. So, although since speaking to us, it sounded like they have come out as Asperger's, they're letting everyone know that this is an identity they affiliate with, maybe they haven't integrated the step known as come home into a disability community, or maybe they haven't integrated this with their sense of self. Now, this could be because, well, for lots of reasons, but one that we think it could be is because being a female with such a low rate of diagnosis, maybe it's difficult to find peers. If 80% of those diagnosed with ASC are male, what's it like when you're a woman who's been diagnosed and are looking to find other people who are like you? It's interesting to note how both these participants believe that the change to the DSM removed the association of Asperger's with a psychiatric disorder, like because Asperger's is no longer in the DSM, then maybe it's not a psychiatric disorder anymore. Technically, this isn't correct officially, because Asperger's has been absorbed into autism spectrum disorder. It means it still kind of exists. It's just that's what it's called now. It's in the DSM-5, that big encyclopedia type book with psychiatric disorders. But more positively, their view suggests that they support the neurodiversity perspective, that Asperger's is part of the human variation that should be celebrated, and that it is society with its medical books to classify and categorize people rather than Asperger's itself that is disabling. Maybe it could be that they are coming home to a different identity. Maybe they are understanding themselves not as Asperger's but as someone who is neurodiverse. And, you know, although the word spectrum is kind of one way of expanding the umbrella term of helping us understand what that neurodiversity is, maybe the term neurodiverse is enough. As always, the responses from these folks aren't good or bad. It's how they feel. And I think it's kind of comforting to know that we don't have to have our minds made up. We don't have to have our minds made up in either direction. We can be in a process of understanding ourselves and our identity, and that can change. It is a spectrum, after all. I feel like there's been a lot of richness that we've heard over the past few episodes, and I think it demonstrates the importance of hearing the experience of individuals openly, of allowing people to be treated as experts of their own experience, as people who have a lot to teach us. That's kind of why I've been asking you so many questions, because I think an opportunity for us to reflect on our own experience is an opportunity for us to reflect on what we have learned and what we know. I think it also shows how individual we are, how differently we might think and feel about certain things. It's kind of cool to be doing this, don't you think? It reminds me how human and unique we are, and how we all have ideas and thoughts and beliefs and feelings, and that all of that stuff goes into the soup of who we are. All of it contributes to who we are. And all of that stuff, thoughts, feelings, beliefs, emotions, all that stuff exists beyond a label or a diagnosis. Next episode, our final episode, we will discuss the complexity of identity, the limitations to the research that we've covered, and we will look at where to from here. I'll leave it there. And I hope you take care. I look forward to having you here again soon. Thank you for joining me on this episode of Am I Aspie or Autistic? This series was made as part of the Winter Research Scholarship funded by the Australian Catholic University. Most of the information used in this series is from the research by Sandra Jones and Olivia Smith's 2020 paper, Coming Out with Autism, Identity in People with an Asperger's Diagnosis After DSM-5. Links to the original paper and other articles I used to write this episode are in the show notes. This podcast was written, edited, and recorded by me, Joanna Simmons, with the incredible vocal contribution of Lincoln Jones. Thanks to the support of Sandra Jones, Jennifer Lowe, Lisa Levy, and the team at ACU. If you want to share your thoughts of the episode, feel free to post a comment or review, share with a friend or family member, or write to us on autism@acu.edu.au. We would love to hear any questions you have and what this episode brought up for you.